Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage. Michael is off today, but I have the tremendous honor and privilege of guest hosting for him tonight. Michael, my buddy, if you're listening, I just cannot thank you enough, my friend, for the incredible, wonderful opportunity to just sit in and fill in for you. You have an incredible show. And you made my weekend, my friend, and I just really, really want to thank you for that. For all of you out there, please go to michaelsavage.com. This is a very important news day. There's a lot of very important stories. Believe me, you will not get better, more important, more cutting-edge stories than on michaelsavage.com. The New York Post has a story that I think in many ways gets to the heart of the issue of the Quran burning, which we're going to talk about later in this show, about how that pastor in Florida was hoodwinked by the Florida imam into canceling his event in exchange for moving the Ground Zero Mosque. Apparently now he was swindled. He was lied to. You can read about all of that on michaelsavage.com. But the core issue is the Ground Zero Mosque. This is what is paramount today, both regarding the Quran burning event, whether it's going to be on or off, we'll find out tomorrow. But more importantly, around the 9-year anniversary of the September 11 attacks. Tomorrow, we, the American people, all across this country, from the East Coast to the West Coast, are going to be commemorating and marking the 9-year anniversary of that horrible day, in which 3,000 Americans were slaughtered in one of the great war crimes and atrocities ever committed on American soil. And that decision by Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf and everybody that is backing him, from Mayor Michael Bloomberg to the dear leader Barack Hussein Obama to the Saudi lobby and the Iranian government that is going to be funding that Ground Zero Mosque, are collectively thumbing their nose at the American people. They are thumbing us in the eye. They are spitting upon us, upon our flag, and upon the memory of those that died on that fateful day. And there is a story up on michaelsavage.com that I want all of you to read. It's a very moving story. It's the map. It's in the New York Post. It's called Sacred Site. And it documents, it details the tragic map, which shows how close human remains from the 9/11 attacks were found in the proposed Ground Zero Mosque. The landing gear from one of the planes that crashed in the World Trade Center fell upon that very building. Body parts were found in that very building. In fact, there is widespread suspicion that there is even a body that still has not been located that they believe is somewhere in that building. That's how close it is to the Ground Zero site. It is literally 600 feet away. That's where Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf wants to build that monument to radical Islam. That's where Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf wants to erect a symbol of the victory of Islamic fascism over the United States, a symbol of conquest, which is why they called it the Cordoba House Initiative. Even the name says everything you need to know about the project. Cordoba was the city in southern Spain where when the Muslims conquered Spain, when the Islamists of the time conquered Spain, they destroyed the biggest Catholic church in that city and erected the Cordoba Mosque, which stood at the center of the Islamic Caliphate in Europe. We know that Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf, in his own words, supports the, quote, guiding principles of the fascist regime in Iran. He defends Hamas. He says that we are accessories to the 9/11 attacks, that Osama bin Laden was made in the USA. He has publicly said that the long-term strategy of the Muslim world should be to annihilate Israel. He says he wants to introduce Sharia law into America. This is the imam behind that mosque? This is the imam that wants to build a 13-story cultural center and mosque to gloat over the American people, to stand as a permanent symbol of the conquest of America? And when 70% of New Yorkers, when most families of the 9/11 victims, when most Americans say, this is sacred, holy ground, this is hallowed ground, you are desecrating hallowed ground. You are being not only insensitive, but provocative and blasphemous. What does the dear leader say? What does Michael Bloomberg say? What does the Council on American Islamic Relations say? What does most people in the Muslim world say? Build a mosque. Our feelings are irrelevant. Our sacred texts are irrelevant. Our precious sacred symbols are irrelevant. But you burn a Quran. Oh, then suddenly everybody's barreling down upon that pastor in Florida. Don't get me wrong. I don't believe Qurans should be burned, just as I don't believe flags should be burned or Bibles should be burned or crucifixes desecrated or put in a jar of urine. But hold on now. I didn't open up that Pandora's box. The dear leader did. The liberals in America did. Hillary Clinton did. They're the ones that told us burn the flag. They're the ones that said, hey, Bibles can be burned on college campuses across America. They're the ones that told us you can pay taxpayer-funded art where the crucifix is bathed in a jar of urine, where the Virgin Mary is covered in manure. No, that's avant-garde art. Oh, if a Christian protests that, you're a reactionary, you're a bigot. So then we have to swallow it. But suddenly, this pastor in the woods of Florida with my Italian in-laws, I swear I have more Italian in-laws than this guy has congregants. He can only get 50 people in his church. I can get that on any Sunday at my house when my wife is cooking. And this guy now has suddenly become an international media sensation because he wants to burn a couple copies of the Quran. Maybe he won't. Maybe he doesn't. We'll get to that a little bit later. But look at the hypocrisy. This is what is to me stunning. Look at the double standards. The Bible, burn it. The flag, burn it. The Constitution, burn it. The crucifix, destroy it. The Virgin Mary, desecrate it. The Quran, don't touch it. Muhammad is untouchable. Jesus isn't. This is the hypocrisy and double standards of our liberal ruling regime. And so today, in a major news conference, the dear leader came out and said, no, that mosque not only should be built, it must be built on our sacred hallowed ground near the World Trade Center site. Boys, roll clip 19.
With respect to the mosque in New York, I think I've been pretty clear on my position here. And that is that this country stands for the proposition that all men and women are created equal.
Yep.
That they have certain inalienable rights. One of those inalienable rights is to practice their religion freely.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is that if you could build a church on a site, you could build a synagogue on a site, if you could build a Hindu temple on a site, then you should be able to build a mosque on the site.
No one, dear leader, No one has ever said that you can't build a mosque on that site. They have the right. They got the permit. They got the right. But don't tell us that we don't have the right to protest the building of that mosque. Listen, dear leader, I know this may come as a shock to you, but we don't live in a Sharia law country. Not yet. We don't have Sharia law. Muslims are not given privileged status. They're not given privileged... Not yet, dear leader. I know you're working on it, but not yet. So if they can build on private property, they don't own the streets. They don't own the sidewalks. They don't own all the businesses in New York. This is not Paris yet. They don't control the public square. They have a right to build it. We have a right to protest it. We have a right to stand there with picket lines for days and weeks on end. Hard hats have a right. Construction workers have a right to not work on that site. Contractors have a right to not want to pour concrete. In other words, they have a right to be offensive. We have a right to be offended. Issue. This is what he and Michael Bloomberg and most Muslim organizations, and especially the liberal left in this country, refuse to acknowledge. The attacks on 9/11, what we will be commemorating tomorrow, were not just done by 19 crazy hijackers. They were not just done by Al-Qaeda. That's the liberal myth. That's the liberal lie. They were done by 19 Muslim terrorists, in which those attacks were planned in mosques all over the world, in the name of radical Islam, using the Quran and Sharia law as justification. It was done to declare war between radical Islam and America. It was an act of war. And that's why the building of that mosque with that radical Islamist imam, who is a fellow traveler, who sides with many of the Islamist goals and ambitions, this is why it is desecrating our holy ground. And so my point is a simple one. To the dear leader and to everybody who supports the building of the Ground Zero Mosque, if you can build that Ground Zero Mosque, then I'm sorry, the Quran can be burned as well. Respect is a two-way street. And so the question before the House is, do you believe that the Ground Zero Mosque will be built? And do you believe that Obama is a hypocrite while the mosque to be built? 1-800-449-8255 is the number. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage. 1-800-449-8255 is the number. The question before the House is, what do you make of Obama's news conference today? He says you shouldn't burn the Quran, but the Ground Zero Mosque should be and must be built. Is this flagrant hypocrisy and a double standard? I want to hear from you. Let's go to Frank in New York on line 5. Frank, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Jeff. What we're involved in is a culture war, and we have had only a response, a military response to 9/11 and a humanitarian response with hospital aid and so on in the Middle East, but we have not challenged these people to debate. We need an intellectual challenge of ideas. This is a war of ideas, and we have been shaped, our civilization, by the Judeo-Christian Bible, and this has shaped our law. Our Constitution was modeled after Israel's Constitution. They quoted from Deuteronomy, and this is what's at war with this Islamic Sharia, Quranic law, and we need to get out in the open. We need to challenge them to come to the debating table like gentlemen and show respect, just like the Olympic Games internationally foster mutual respect and goodwill. We should have intellectual competition on a regular basis, and we could start off with challenging these militant Islamicists. We've got the technology. We've got satellite.
Frank, I want to thank you for that call. No, you make a very, very interesting point. Look, I don't like books being burned. Let me be very confessional. The communists murdered most of my family in Eastern Europe. My grandfather spent 3 years in a communist concentration camp. Believe me, for me, the Communist Manifesto is one of the most evil books ever written. I wouldn't want the Communist Manifesto burned. I don't. I don't like books being burned. It reminds me of Nazi Germany. I don't believe books should be burned, especially sacred texts, religious texts. Now, that being said, to me, there's a blatant double standard here. This is what nobody wants to address. If it's okay for Muslims to burn the Bible, if it's okay for them to burn the flag, if it's okay here in America for anti-war activists to burn the flag, to desecrate the crucifix, to destroy our Bible, to burn it repeatedly, and Christians and Jews are told, well, sorry, the Talmud can be burned, the Torah can be burned, the Bible can be burned, but you can't touch the Quran. Well, now that's a double standard. That I don't like. Now, I think the most effective way, frankly, to combat Sharia law, to combat radical Islam, is to be honest with Michael, what Dr. Savage does every day. You debate it. You expose it. I think if this guy in Florida really wanted to make a real issue out of this, read from the Quran. I could cite you chapter and verse where there are calls to violence and jihadism. In other words, show the world how barbaric and evil much of radical Islam is. But when you start burning with books, when you start burning religious texts, you are playing with fire. But my friends, that fire was lit 40 years ago. That's the legacy of the Vietnam War. That's the legacy of the revolutionary left. They're the ones who started with the burning of our sacred symbols. So what I say to liberals is this: what's good for the Muslim goose is also what's good for the Muslim Christian. Sorry, the Christian goose is good for the Muslim gander. What's good for one has to be good for another. That's my policy. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage. 1-800-449-8255 is the number. Go to michaelsavage.com. The Florida minister, Reverend Terry Jones, cancels the burning of Qurans on 9/11. Maybe he hasn't. Go to michaelsavage.com. You can read that story and so much more. It looks now like he is maybe rethinking his position. He may continue with the barbecue, the Quran burning barbecue. Go ahead with it tomorrow. It looks like he feels that he was betrayed by this Florida imam who apparently had brokered a deal with Reverend Terry Jones, telling Terry Jones, if you don't burn the Quran, the Ground Zero Mosque is going to be moved. Now the imam in Florida, and more importantly, Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf, are saying, no, we never had such a deal. And in fact, Imam Rauf has come out and said, don't toy with our religion. We are not here to barter. He's sticking to his guns, and he says that mosque will be built. And so, in reaction to this, getting questions from the press corps, the dear leader gave a news conference today in which he wanted to reiterate, we are not at war with Islam. Hey, 9/11, which we're going to celebrate the 9th anniversary tomorrow, it happened, but it was only 19 hijackers. We're just at war with Al-Qaeda, but certainly not with Islam. Boys, roll clip 20.
Now, I recognize the extraordinary sensitivities around 9/11. Mm-hmm. You know, I've met with families of 9/11 victims in the past.
Yeah.
I can only imagine the continuing pain and anguish, mm-hmm, and sense of loss that they may go through.
Mm-hmm, I feel it.
And tomorrow we as Americans are going to be joining them in prayer mm-hmm, and remembrance.
Mm-hmm.
But I go back to what I said earlier.
Yeah.
We are not at war against Islam.
No, no.
We are at war against terrorist organizations,
mm-hmm,
that have distorted Islam or, mm-hmm, falsely used the banner of Islam to to engage in their destructive acts.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to be clear about that. Mm-hmm. We've got to be clear about that because if we're going to successfully reduce the terrorist threat, then we need all the allies we can get.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like those allies in the streets of Kabul burning the American flag, dear leader. I see those allies. Oh, you're really good at attracting allies, dear leader. I can see that. Oh, oh, I can see what you've done with Russia. I can see what you've done with Israel. I can see what you've done with our allies all over the world, with Great Britain, oh, with Canada, with Australia. Nobody's better at alienating our allies than you, dear leader. But my friends, this is the key. No matter how much we say we are not at war with radical Islam is at war with us. And this, to me, is the greatest crime of the Obama administration. Of all of their crimes, this is the biggest. Their refusal to recognize reality, to recognize the threat that we faced. Tell me, dear leader, if we're not at war with radical Islam, how come 3,000 Americans were slaughtered on that day? How come thousands of our troops have died from Islamist insurgents in Iraq and Afghanistan? Tell me, why did the crotch bomber almost blow up a plane over Detroit? Why did the Fort Hood massacre take place? Why have there been terrorist attacks from Spain to Indonesia to Britain to Paris to all over the world? Why are suicide bombers blowing themselves up in the cafes in Israel? Tell me, dear leader, if we're only at war with a handful of people. Just a handful of people, my friends. Most Muslims are peaceful, law-abiding people. We know that. So were most Russians under communism in the Soviet Union. So were most Germans under Nazi Germany. It's irrelevant. The fact of the matter is, now this fanatical minority has taken over Islam. They are now conducting terrorist attacks. They are now declaring war upon us. Look, now they're dictating to us. They're basically blackmailing us into whether a pastor on his own ground, on his own church property, can or can't burn the Quran. They're now telling us what's a First Amendment protection and what isn't. And look at all the cowards in the media, in the Obama administration, Hillary, Robert Gates, the FBI, the dear leader himself. For decades, what did we hear from them? Separation of church and state. Separation of church and state. Oh, can't intervene in church affairs. No, no, no. You want to desecrate the crucifix? Can't intervene. You want to have the Ten Commandments on courthouses? Can't have it. Separation of church and state. School prayer? Can't have it. Separation of church and state. Abortion? It's got to be everywhere. Separation of church and state. Now, all of a sudden, this guy wants to burn a Quran. Oh, everybody's now telling him. His website has been closed. That they shut that down. They sick the FBI on him. The White House is contacting him. You now have people in Florida. Not, this is a key point. Not in Afghanistan. Not in Gaza. Not in Iran. In Florida. Burning the American flag and burning Bibles. I don't see them talking against it. Oh, no. Separation of church and state. But when it comes to this Quran, it cannot be burned. Look how we are trying to bend over backwards to appease and accommodate these radical Islamists. Welcome to the United States of Arabia. Welcome to what Europe is now facing. Rather than the radical Islamists adapting to us, we are adapting to them. Let's go to Tom in New York. Tom, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Jeff Cooner filling in for the Grandmaster Michael Savage. That's red, white, and blue dynamite, baby.
Thank you so much, Tom. What's on your mind, my friend?
Jeff, the left-wing anti-American media is going to attempt and has attempted to sanitize the horror of 9/11, the Islamic military, militant terror attacks. Softball in the head, Matthews calls it a tragedy. It wasn't a tragedy. It was a terror hit. It was an act of war. Jeff, a friend of mine from Central Jersey, had five children. He's coaching Pop Warner football on Sunday. His wife is expecting their sixth child. He goes to work on Tuesday, and his life is ripped away from him. He's an American citizen, a taxpayer, and his life is taken away. Jeff, it's a desecration to put a mosque on that holy ground, and we have to peacefully fight this with everything we've got. God bless you in America.
God bless you, Tom. Well said. I lost friends on that day, and I'm going to be thinking of them tomorrow, and I'm going to be thinking of the families of the 9/11 victims. And I ask all of you, members of the Savage Nation, is this just? Is this right? You lost your loved ones. You lost your husbands. You lost your wives. You lost your parents. You lost your brothers and sisters, your colleagues, your friends. And now you have to live with this insult? It's not enough that a part of you died on that day? That those memories can never be taken away from you? That your life in many ways has been shattered? Now you have to deal with this mosque? And to be told that on top of it that you're a bigot and a racist and an Islamophobe? On top of it all, for opposing it? To Mayor Bloomberg. To that shyster. Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf. To the dear leader. Shame on you. And my, that mosque will not be built because the American people are going to say we are drawing a line in the sand. And that sand is our sacred holy ground. To all of the Muslims in the world, listen to me now very carefully. You value your Quran, and you're right to value your Quran, but we value our dead. And we value those that died on September 11th. And that attack was done in your name. It was, whether you like to admit it or not, it was done in your name by your co-religionists. And until you accept that, until you confront that, until you apologize for that and speak out against the extremists and radicals amongst you, my friends, there will never be genuine peace. Let's go to Ken in Houston on line one. Ken, thanks for waiting. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
I feel like reckless and irresponsible compromise is going to be our undoing. If we don't wake up in America and face the facts that we are going to be overrun on every corner, every edge, they are going to just seek to tear us down. Freedom will be lost if we are not vigilant to pay attention to what's taking place. We've got people in Congress and in the White House that are posers. They hold no real allegiance to this country. They do not love America and our Constitution and all the founding documents that we have that point to God and truth. And we have failed. We have failed. If we don't get a backbone in this country.
Oh, Ken, I want to thank you. If we don't get a backbone, look, all is going to be lost. Look, we have to stare reality in the face. Members of the Savage Nation, we got to speak truth to power. Look, we're already willing now to jettison parts of our Constitution. Look, I don't want to talk about Obamacare. I don't want to talk about the czars. I don't want to talk about the massive deficits, the takeover of the car industry. Most of what this administration has done is blatantly unconstitutional. Leave that aside. Let's just focus on this pastor in Florida, okay? Let's just focus on this for a second. Now, I don't believe he should burn the Quran. I don't like, to repeat it the third time, I don't like Qurans being burnt. I don't like Bibles being burnt. I don't like anything being burnt. However, he's got the First Amendment right to do it. He does. It's private property. It's on church grounds. If he wants to burn a Quran, let him burn a Quran. Let me tell you what I used to say to my atheist friends. They would burn the Bible. My Bible. My Lord and Savior. When I saw art destroying my crucifix with my Lord and Savior on it, I am a devout Catholic. That crucifix, that Bible, is everything to me. It is what guides me. It is what inspires me. It is what informs me. What I say to them is a very simple one. I will argue against you in the op-ed pages. I will argue with you on radio. I will debate you peacefully. If you go ahead and burn it, you have a right to burn it. And may God have mercy on your soul. But I am never going to destroy buildings. I'm not going to burn. I'm not going to riot. I'm not going to issue death threats. I'm not going to call for these people to be beheaded. I don't understand the argument. On the one hand, they're trying to tell us it's peace. They're all peaceful. It's nothing but peace. And yet, on the other hand, they're telling us, if you burn the Quran, American troops will die. American tourists will be killed. American diplomats will be killed. It's going to be suicide bombings everywhere. It's going to be World War III. Well, what is it? Is it peace or is it violence? You see, even their own conduct, even their own words betray how politically correct they are, how they're unable to recognize reality. And so we have to tell the Muslim world very simply, look, I'm sorry. You're offended by the Quran being burned. We're offended by the Bible being burned. We're offended by the flag being burned. And we're offended by the Ground Zero Mosque. Now you know how it feels. How do you like it when the shoe's on the other foot? You don't like it. Well, I have news for you. Life and respect is not a one-way street. It's a two-way street. When you respect us, we'll respect you. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage. Members of the Savage Nation, tomorrow we will be commemorating the 9-year anniversary of the September 11 attacks. This to me is what's most important right now, even more than the Ground Zero Mosque, even more than this Florida minister and whether Qurans are burned. Those are important issues. But to me, it is to remember those that died that day, to honor the fallen. And I want all of you to listen to what we're going to play right about now. It's a very moving 2-minute clip. Believe me, it's going to bring a tear to your eye. Boys, roll it.
I love you. I'm in the World Trade Center. The building was hit by something. I don't know if I'm going to get out, but I love you very much. I hope I'll see you later. Bye.
Long before September 11th, it started.
Yesterday's acts of terrorism, which killed so many young American and French servicemen, were a horrifying reminder of the type of enemy that we face in many critical areas of the world today. Vicious, cowardly, and ruthless.
He just said, I want to let you all know that I love you very, very much in case I don't see you again. That the plane has been taken over by hijackers. And then I said, well, we love you very much too, Mark.
We must not allow international criminals and thugs such as these to undermine the peace. The struggle for peace is indivisible. We cannot pick and choose where we will support freedom. We can only determine how. If it's lost in one place, all of us lose.
I was talking to her, my cell phone to her cell phone. She was with other people. They were scared. You could hear people running around. There was pandemonium.
Chick was a Naval Academy graduate appointed by the President of the United States. Today was his birthday. He would have been 52 years old.
The United States will not be intimidated by terrorists.
Just pray for all the people that are hurting and all the families and pray that our country will do something to stop this terrorist.
Every effort will be made to find the criminals responsible for this act of terrorism so this despicable act will not go unpunished.
TRN. Remember.
My friends, I remember what I did on that day. I was driving into work. Off to the Washington Times. And I remember I drove through the city of Washington, D.C., and it was barren. It was like a ghost town. There was nobody. I mean, nobody. There wasn't a car. There wasn't a person. There was nobody on the streets. It's like we had evacuated the Capitol. And I went into the newsroom, and it was absolute sheer pandemonium. We did not know who attacked us. We did not know why. We began to hear the names of the victims. Some journalists began to break down. They had friends, especially those that died in the plane that crashed into the Pentagon. And then I heard about some of my friends that passed away. And what I can just tell you is this. I made a decision then on that day that I would never forget the victims. I would never forget those that fell on that day. when they attack the Twin Towers, when they attack the Pentagon, when that fourth plane went down in rural Pennsylvania, which was clearly headed for either the White House or Capitol Hill, they not just struck at America. They struck at the very symbols of American power, our financial power, our military power, and hopefully they were hoping our political power. They wanted to deliver a message, and that message was they are at war with us. For them, this is a life-death struggle, and they want to impose a world Muslim empire. They want to spread Sharia law, not just in the Middle East, not just in Europe, but eventually here in America. And the seminal challenge of our generation, my fellow Americans, we are like our forefathers. They had to fight Nazi Germany. They had to fight Soviet communism. Many before had to fight to save this union. And our founding fathers had to fight to win us our independence from the British. Every generation has to stand up and defend and fight freedom. And my friends, this is now our challenge. This is what now God has ordained us to do. And the question that now befalls us, I believe, is the most seminal question a people and a nation can face. Shall we be or not be? And what I say now is that let us remember those that died on 9/11. And if radical Islam wants a war, let us give them a war like they've never seen. My friends, America now, America forever. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage. Michael, I just want to thank you once again, my friend, for the incredible, wonderful honor and opportunity of guest hosting for you tonight. Michael, you're not only the intellectual talk radio champion of the world, you're also a very generous man, and I really, really appreciate it. All of you out there, members of the Savage Nation, go to michaelsavage.com. There are some absolute must-read stories. If you're interested in the Quran burning story, the Quran burning issue, there's no better site than michaelsavage.com. Florida minister cancels burning of Qurans on 9/11. Well, maybe not. Maybe not. Go to michaelsavage.com. Reverend Terry Jones, the head of the Gainesville, Florida church, the Dove World Outreach Center, was planning to burn the Quran, copies of the Quran, this Saturday. He referred to it as International Burn a Quran Day. Over the last week, you have seen Obama speak out against it, Hillary Clinton speak out against it, General Petraeus speak out against it, Robert Gates speak out against it, the leftist media has spoken out against it, even Sarah Palin has spoken out against it. Everybody has spoken out against it. It's insensitive. It's inflammatory. It's blasphemous. Allegedly, it will endanger our troops in Afghanistan. So, under this kind of pressure, Reverend Jones buckled. He cracked. And he came out yesterday with a press conference in which he said, well, I've been in contact with a Florida imam, Muhammad Masri. And according to this Florida imam, Imam Masri, he's been in contact with the New York Ground Zero Mosque imam, Faisal Abdul Rauf. And apparently this Florida imam told Reverend Jones, told Terry Jones, Terry, if you just cancel the Quran burning event, I think we're going to get this guy in New York, Faisal Abdul Rauf, to either cancel the Ground Zero Mosque or relocate it. We're going to do Terry a straight quid pro quo. So Terry, all you got to do now is go out and say, you know what? We have a deal. I'm canceling my Quran burning barbecue because what we find so offensive here in America is the building of the Ground Zero Mosque. Here is Terry Jones saying, I think we have a deal. Boys, roll clip two.
The American people do not want the mosque there. And of course, Muslims do not want us to burn the Quran. The Imam has agreed to move the mosque. We have agreed to cancel our event on Saturday.
So he says he's going to cancel it, but now he's not so sure. Because this Florida imam, Imam Masri, just go to michaelsavage.com, Muslim holy men deceive, lie to Quran-burning preacher. Well, now the Florida imam, who apparently brokered the deal, came out and said, what, me? No. I never said we were going to shut down the Ground Zero Mosque. No, you see, you misunderstood me, Reverend Terry Jones. I just said I would talk to the Ground Zero Mosque imam. I would set up a meeting. You could fly to New York. You could meet and sit down. Maybe have a Turkish coffee. Sit down. Maybe have a piece of baklava together. And then you can discuss whether the Ground Zero Mosque should be moved. So here's what the Imam Masri is now saying. First, you cancel the Quran burning event. You make the concession. You don't offend us. No Qurans can be burnt. And then we'll give you the privilege of flying up to New York to meet with the Ground Zero Mosque imam. And maybe if you can meet His Excellency, the Sultan of Lower Manhattan, if you can sit down with him, he's willing to discuss it. That was a trap. They basically pulled the wool over this a Florida minister, the Southern Baptist Reverend's eyes. They took that Florida little bumpkin, that rural bumpkin, and they said, aha, let's play the dumb infidel. He's under pressure. Everybody's telling him, cancel the Quran burning event. So wink, wink. Yeah. We're going to shut down the Ground Zero Mosque. All you got to do is make an announcement. My friends, they double-crossed him. What they did was they set him up. They put him out in front of the cameras. And they got the concession that they wanted. And then they knifed him in the back. And they said, no. We had no deal. What deal? Here's the Florida imam in his own words saying, I never made a deal. I never agreed to a deal. Boys, roll clip 10.
Neither one of us spoke directly to the imam in New York. No. And neither he made any commitment to move it. What his office made a commitment to give us an opportunity to meet with him. And I very specifically said, I want to come and I want to bring Pastor Jones with me. And they said if he cancels this event, we would welcome him to come and discuss.
We would welcome you. Come and discuss. Have a Turkish coffee. We sit down, have a day. We come and talk. We have a discussion. We discuss. No. We don't discuss. This was a quid pro quo. And so what they did was they played him. They played him like a fiddle. And notice now, again, the Florida pastor, this reverend, he has to concede. So now, stand back and think about this, members of the Savage Nation. Look what's happening to our country. Look at when the dust settles, what's the final scorecard? Now, this Florida minister, Terry Jones, is not allowed to burn a Quran on his own private church property. His right to First Amendment? No, too offensive. The dear leader, Obama, tells him not to do it. Hillary Clinton, don't do it. Robert Gates, don't do it. General David Petraeus, don't do it. But on the Ground Zero Mosque, it must be built. It should be built. It's an offense to America if it's not built. So now they played him. He's an overall Islamic cultural PR offensive. Suddenly, notice how this Reverend Terry Jones is always referred to as a fringe guy. He's a fringe preacher. He's crazy. He's a nut job. He's a nut case. Everybody's willing to vilify him. But the Ground Zero Mosque imam who defends Hamas, who says we had the 9/11 attacks coming, who actively has said on the record in a letter to the New York Times that he, quote, supports the guiding principles of the Iranian revolution in Iran, that same revolution that enslaves women, that stones adulterers, that hangs gays and lesbians. No, he's not fringe. He's mainstream. Oh, he's completely mainstream. Oh, come on now. He's as mainstream as your little local Irish priest. Hey, completely mainstream. What's the trouble? What's the problem? Notice the hypocrisy and the double standards. Notice how the media is bending over backward to make sure that Ground Zero Mosque is built. But this guy, on his church property, no, he can't build. He can't burn that Quran. That Quran cannot be built. Well, hold on now. Do we have separation of church and state, or don't we? Why is it okay for the liberal regime to actively intervene in this man's church business, in his private church matters? Then everybody and his grandmother tells him not to do it. But that Ground Zero Mosque, according to Mayor Michael Bloomberg, it's un-American to even ask where the funding comes. You can't even ask where's the money coming from. And so the question that I have for members of the Savage Nation is a very simple one. Do you believe that Florida imam and Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf, the Ground Zero imam, did these Muslim clerics essentially lie, deceive, and betray this Florida minister? Did they essentially pull one over him? Did they tell him there was a deal to force him to cancel the event and then basically said, I'm sorry, maybe you announced it and you're not going to have that Quran burning barbecue, but you know what? We can talk about it, but we're not moving the Ground Zero Mosque. Was Reverend Terry Jones played? 1-800-449-8255 is the number. 1-800-449-8255. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Savage. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage. You know, my friends, what's absolutely remarkable is that you think, with everything that's going on in the world, our troops dying in Afghanistan, another firefight in Baghdad, our troops dying in Iraq, Iran on the verge of a nuclear bomb, everywhere you look, American interests and American values are under assault. But Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton, she's got plenty of time to comment on the Quran burning event that was planned by Reverend Terry Jones, now canceled. Boys, roll it.
We're a country of, what, 310 million plus right now. And, I mean, it's regrettable that a pastor in Gainesville, Florida, with a church of no more than 50 people, can make this outrageous and distressful, disgraceful plan and get, you know, the world's attention. But that's the world we live in right now. It doesn't in any way represent America or Americans or American government or American religious or political leadership.
You know, what I find remarkable is, have you noticed what all of these liberals keep insisting now is, this man doesn't speak for America. He's a fringe guy. He's a nut job. 50 members in his congregation. Hey, you can't judge 310 million people by the actions of this guy and his 50 congregants. But when it comes to the issue of Islam, If you notice this, all over the world, what are all these Muslims protesting? Oh, if he burns that Quran, all of America will be threatened. All of America will be tarnished. Hillary Clinton says, no, please, please, you can't burn the Quran. You can't burn the Quran because the actions of this one man, oh, it's going to tarnish everybody. We're going to be damaged internationally. Our troops are going to be damaged. Our image is going to be damaged. Tourists, diplomats, soldiers, everybody's going to come under attack. Well, flip it. So let me understand this then. We're supposed, in other words, according to your logic, by your definition, if this man burns the Quran, all of America will be indicted. All of America will be threatened. All of America will be tarred with the brush of being anti-Islamophobic and anti-Muslim and anti-Quran. But when you talk about the Ground Zero Mosque, when you talk about the September 11 attacks, when you talk about the war on terror, no, the actions of a few don't speak for everybody. You can't tar Islam with one brush. You can't do that. Even though there are hundreds of millions of Muslims around the world who sympathize and support radical Islam. Not all, far from it, but a sizable enough minority that if you look in Gaza, nobody wants to talk about this. Not very peaceful. But in Gaza, under Hamas, churches have been destroyed. In fact, when there was a firefight between Hamas and the supporters of the Palestinian Authority, when they had their own internal civil war and Hamas won, what were Catholic priests and nuns writing to the world? Our churches have been bombed. They have been destroyed. Our crucifixes have been desecrated. Nuns were shot. The statues of the Virgin Mary were turned over and blown up. How come nobody protested that, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton? How come the dear leader was quiet about that? Tell me, how many Catholics do I see going around the world threatening to burn down mosques or burn Qurans in response to what happened to Catholic priests and nuns in the Gaza Strip? Nobody. And so this is what I find remarkable from Lady Hillary. Suddenly now, Lady Hillary is saying, no, you see, this one guy, you burn that Quran, all of America is threatened. We all look bad. That's why it can't be burned. Everybody's threatened. So the actions of a few do speak for the entire nation. The actions of a few do tar the entire nation. But when it comes to Islam, no, you can't tar that whole religion. It's peace. It has to be peace. We're not in a war with radical Islam. No, just a couple of people, a couple of crazies. I don't know where they come from. I don't know where they are. Count them on two hands. That's it. That's all. And more than that, what was Hillary doing 35 years ago when her and Billy Boy were protesting the Vietnam War? They were burning American flags. They were spitting on Christianity. They were assaulting the Bible. They're the ones that call for abortion on demand. They're the ones that have told us we have to remove school prayer. We have to remove the Ten Commandments. We have to purge every symbol of Judeo-Christianity from the public square. That's what they've been telling us now for the last 40 years. Christianity has been under assault. The Constitution has been under assault. Jesus Christ himself has been under assault. It's freedom of speech. We have to have plays where he's promoted and depicted as a homosexual. We have to have that. He has to be in a urine jar. We have to. It's avant-garde art. But suddenly, when it comes to burning the Quran, no. You can't burn a Quran. You can't touch a Quran. It doesn't speak for America. It's endangering our troops. She is a class A hypocrite. And to talk about this and so much more, believe me, there is rhyme and reason to what she's doing. Hillary may be thinking of running against Obama in 2012. She is, in fact, positioning herself. We're going to discuss this and a very important comment that she made with an important guest right after the break on The Savage Nation.
Savage.
Our rising debt levels poses a national security threat. And it poses a national security threat in two ways. It undermines our capacity to act in our own interests, and it does constrain us where constraint may be undesirable. And it also sends a message of weakness internationally.
That was Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton recently saying these out-of-control deficits are posing a long-term threat to our economic security. This is Jeff Kuhner sitting in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation. If you go to michaelsavage.com, that very point is illustrated in a story up on michaelsavage.com, where under Obama, in the first 20 months of his administration, he has amassed and racked up more debt than all of the debt accumulated from George Washington to Ronald Reagan combined, is wrecking the economic foundations of this country. And what I sense, what I hear in that comment, and what many in Washington hear that I've been talking to are saying is, that was a backhanded shot at Obama. She is now positioning herself as the fiscal hawk and maybe as a potential rival in 2012 to challenge Obama for the Democratic presidential nomination if his poll numbers continue to plummet. To discuss this and so much more, we are now joined by Bob Benelli. Bob Benelli is a 30-year Wall Street veteran, a recognized financial expert. He is somebody who is one of the best in the business at exposing how progressive economic policies and massive deficits are robbing our liberty. The book that he just has out, Liberty Rising, can be got and purchased on Amazon.com. Bob, welcome to the Savage Nation.
I'm proud to be here, Jeff. I've been listening to you, and boy, let me tell you, you've got it right on. You really do.
Oh, thanks a lot, Bob. Hey, Bob, listen, I mean, this this book, I got to tell you, you talk about hitting the nail on the head. Let me ask you this, Bob. I want to talk to you about a lot of issues, but that comment in particular, it seems to me that she's obviously criticizing the massive deficits under Obama. She's basically hinting, you know, under my husband, you know, you can read between the lines, we had budget surpluses. We weren't fiscally reckless. Do you think she's positioning herself to challenge Obama in 2012?
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt about it. You know, there's so little that the Clintons do that isn't obvious. I think we all know that. We saw that for 8 years while they were running the White House. But I hate to say it, I have to actually agree with her on this one point. And let me explain. Jeff, in 1988, which is not that long ago, only 11% of our debt was funded by foreign governments. By the end of this year, 33% of our national debt will be funded by foreign governments.
That's incredible.
Now, she's 100% correct. This is an outright onslaught on our national security, because how much influence do you think we can have on global issues that impact our national security, where our interests are in direct conflict with the interests of our debtors? And you had commented before you introduced me about the piece that's up on michaelsavage.com on the amount of debt that this man has amassed in just the last couple of years. Well, the numbers are staggering. In 2009, the deficit was $1.4 trillion. You know, there was a time when $1 trillion would scare the heck out of people.
Yeah, that was serious money.
Oh,
that was real money. Bob, that was real money one time.
This year, it gets even worse. This year, our deficit will be $1.7 trillion. So, Jeff, add it up. That's $3.1 trillion. In 2 years, the country is 234 years old. Our debt will rise to about $14 trillion. And this president has added about 28% to the debt in just 2 years.
That's incredible.
That is a staggering, staggering number.
Bob, let me ask you this. Obviously, look, you're somebody who knows Wall Street like almost better than anybody else in this country. You know the area, you know the beat, you know the business. Of that 33% of the foreign governments who own our debt, what is the biggest share? Is it the Chinese? Are we basically being bought up by China?
China and Japan both have $1 trillion each, and it's rising. And it begs the question, there's no doubt that we have the strongest military in the world. But how do we fund the strongest military in the world if the world someday decides not to lend to us? It's a frightening thought when we look at it purely from how do we get our debt funded. But I'll tell you, Jeff, the problem gets even worse when you take a look at the threat from within and the national security threat that all of this spending and these policies of this administration has on the nation itself. We all know there was a report that was released recently that showed that one out of every six Americans today is directly dependent on government, which is about, we're talking about 54 to 60 million Americans that are totally dependent on government for their daily needs of housing, medical care, and food. And if you add to that the 27 million Americans and their families who work for government in some capacity, whether it's municipal, state, or federal, one-third of our nation is either indirectly or directly dependent on government for their daily needs. That's not a sustainable number in a free society.
Bob, are we becoming, Bob, in your view, are we now becoming under Obama not just a socialist country, but in many ways, a country of welfare bums? Are we now becoming a country where people are either dependent upon welfare, dependent upon government, or looking for handouts?
Well, I think the answer is we're getting a lot closer to that because we're moving away from the principles of individualism and self-reliance that truly cemented and forged the concept of American exceptionalism. And we're moving away from that. If we look at it in world terms today, our nation could not be a member of the European Union. The European Union's criteria is quite strict. Your national debt can be no more than 60% of your gross domestic product. Ours now is approaching 100%.
That's incredible. Bob, that's absolutely incredible. And Bob, just to reinforce what you're saying, here is Hillary Clinton, in her own words, boys, roll it.
Is very troubling to me that we are losing the ability not only to chart our own destiny, but to, you know, have the leverage that comes from this enormously effective economic engine that has powered American values and interests over so many years.
There's Hillary Clinton, and you want some more? I mean, to me, I think she is criticizing Obama subtly. She's basically, what she's saying is, you know what? We ran our finances a hell of a lot better when we were in the White House, and the dear leader is blowing it. Boys, roll another clip.
The challenge is how we get out of it by making the right decisions, not the wrong decisions. I mean, there's a lot of wrong things we could do that would further undermine our strength. I mean, it is going to be very difficult for those decisions, and I know there's an election going on, and I know that I am by law out of politics, but I will say that this is not just a decision for the Congress, it's a decision for the country, and it's not a Republican or a Democratic decision, and there are a lot of people who know more about what needs to be done and who frankly have a responsible view whose voices are not being heard right now.
Bob, I don't want to turn everything into politics, but you're laying it out there. We couldn't even enter into the European Union now. We have become so fiscally reckless. Our deficits are so out of control. And here you have Hillary. Now, she's the Secretary of State. She's not supposed to be commenting on domestic issues. And here she's coming out saying, you know what? This is a disaster. We are now facing economic ruin as a nation. Bob, is she going to challenge Obama in 2012? And I think can she make the argument that she was she and Bill were better economic stewards than Obama?
Oh, I think she'll take a look at it. She'll make some calculations, and she'll realize that this is her best chance to take a real run for the presidency. I think the nation will eventually reject her, but that's not parcel to this question. I think you're 100% correct. I think she can make a case that this guy, she'll go right back to the rhetoric and the argument that she used during the debates during the primaries leading up to the 2008 election. She said he was inexperienced. She said that he had no executive knowledge, that he never ran anything, and that basically he was an amateur when it came to matters that are most pressing to the nation. So, yes, I think she'll use that, and she'll use it as a means of staging and putting herself as well, let's put it this way, she'll position herself as the adult and come in and show how she can save the nation and still continue to move in this socialist direction, but she's going to do it in a way that will have more meter to it.
In other words, she's going to say, you want a competent socialist? Vote for me. You want an incompetent socialist? Vote for him.
That's it. She's going to make it purely a competence issue, and she'll make a pretty good case. And when you stop and think about it, the competency of this president, with all due respect to Mr. Obama, he is our president, but when you take a look at what has happened, particularly in his relative priorities, all he can offer is class warfare and continued rhetoric, and he can't offer any solutions that make sense at all. He can't even acknowledge the mistakes he's made. It's almost a pure example of immaturity, but incompetency is an excellent word to use, and I'm sorry to have to say it because he is our president, but the man has been totally incompetent, and Hillary Clinton will make an excellent case against that.
We are talking to Bob Benelli. He is the author of Liberty Rising. We will continue to talk with Bob. Stay tuned right after this break. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage. We are talking to Bob Benelli. He is the author of Liberty Rising, which you can buy at Amazon.com. It is an absolutely superb read. I recommend all of you to go out and buy it. Bob, tomorrow we're going to be commemorating the 9-year anniversary of the September 11 attacks. Where were you on that day, and do you have any memories you want to share with members of the Savage Nation?
Well, I do. I was only a few blocks away. In fact, on that day, I was opening up an office of a new venture of mine, and the only people that were in my office was my IT person and myself. He was setting up some computers, and I remember how the ground shook when the first plane hit. And all I had was a table, and on that table I had my Bloomberg terminal, and I was reading the news, and everyone thought it was just an accident. And of course, we all know what followed in the time that developed after that. It was a horrible day. I remember when the first tower fell. It was like an earthquake, and we went outside, and then we went back into the building. Our building was very smart. They turned off the ventilation system. They kept the power on, and the safest place to be was inside the building. But I have to tell you, Jeff, the most eerie feeling of all was when the second tower came down. We had a clear view of the towers from the window, one window of the suite. And when the second tower came down, it was dead silence, unlike the first tower. And my IT person and I were looking out the window, and this black cloud just started coming down to us in silence. And in a moment, what was a beautiful, beautiful sunny day, we were engulfed in darkness. That darkness passed in about 60 seconds, and I'll never forget what I saw when I looked out my window. Looking up Wall Street, I saw something I never thought I would see in the United States, and it just burned in my memory. I'll never forget it. A line of refugees walking down Wall Street, turning up Water Street, walking toward the Brooklyn Bridge to walk out over the Brooklyn Bridge to exit the island. It was a scene that was just absolutely horrible. And your first hour, I have to applaud you, because I think you're saying what a lot of Americans are thinking. It is absolutely incredible to me that people like Mayor Bloomberg and our president could actually now, especially our president, after spending the last 18 months shredding the Constitution, all of a sudden he's a strict constructionist talking about First Amendment rights, and he and Mayor Bloomberg are embracing these liberal teaching moments. 3,000 people died that day. But the most wonderful thing about that darkest of days was what happened on board Flight 93. because what we saw on Flight 93 is exactly what a people of liberty do when they see liberty threatened. Those 40 passengers and crew stood up, and as it was reported from cell phone conversations with loved ones, they stood up to those hijackers in the face of certain death. They mounted that counteroffensive, and they forced that plane down in an open field in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. And as you had said to your listeners earlier, the flight recorders clearly show that that plane was on its way to either the White House or the Capitol building. But what those people did was they stood up for liberty and gave up their lives for liberty. And we're going to have a chance to do that as a nation on November 2nd. And if this nation can get its act together and stand up the same way that those brave 40 men and women did on Flight 93, we can reverse the course that this nation is heading on right now.
Bob, from your lips to God's ears, the book is called Liberty Rising. The author is Bob Benelli. Bob, I want to thank you so much for coming on the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Jeff.
God bless you, buddy. My friends, go to michaelsavage.com. There are some absolute must-read stories. And what you get on michaelsavage.com is you get stories that just you don't find anywhere else in the lamestream media. You just don't find it. Here is one. I mean, this is to me a gem. Everybody is talking about the international burn a Quran day, but nobody is talking about the plan by this imam in the United Kingdom. Don't take my word for it. Members of the Savage Nation, go to michaelsavage.com. Here is this UK imam. His name is Anjem Choudhary. He is an avowed Islamist. He is an avowed jihadist. He is an avowed Islamic fundamentalist who is calling for an international Burn the Stars and Stripes Day. The story is called Burn the Stars and Stripes Day. Just go and read it on michaelsavage.com. He is demanding that tomorrow, in retaliation for Reverend Terry Jones's decision to hold a Quran burning event, which now is canceled but may not be canceled, but in retaliation, he wants the U.S. flag to be burned all across the world in front of every American embassy. Now, my question is a simple one. It's wrong for Terry Jones to burn a Quran. It's wrong to have an international Burn the Quran Day. But apparently it's okay for this guy, Imam Choudhary, this Islamist butcher, to hold an international Burn the Stars and Stripes Day. To burn the flag, no problem. No problem. I don't see David Cameron criticizing him. I don't see the dear leader coming out and saying, hey, don't do that. That's offensive. That's insensitive. That's inflammatory. That's our sacred flag. Symbolizes our very freedoms as a nation and all of the national sacrifices that our men and women have made since our birth as a nation. And yet, They can despoil and defile that sacred symbol with impunity. And since we're on the topic, I don't want to have to mention it, but I'm going to mention it. How come this guy is not banned? Michael is banned. Oh, when it comes to Michael Savage, peaceful, a talk radio host, he's banned in Britain. But this guy, an avowed jihadist, oh no, he can scream it from the top of the rooftops in London. My friend, this is the enemy, and unless we recognize it, we will lose the war on terror. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage. Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Kooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage. My friends, go to michaelsavage.com. You can read some of the most sizzling, cutting-edge stories out there. To my good friend, Michael, I want to thank you once again for the incredible honor and opportunity of guest hosting for you tonight. Michael, you truly are a wonderful patriot, and I want you to know that what you are doing is good for America, good for conservatism, and frankly, good for free speech. The man behind the Ground Zero mosque controversy, Imam Faisal Rauf, he is the man that is spurring all of this opposition in New York and around the country. It is this Ground Zero mosque that now hangs over the 9-year anniversary of the September 11 attacks tomorrow. Imam Faisal Rauf was recently on Larry King Live. He was on CNN. And according to this imam, oh, is he slick? Notice how slick he is. Oh, does he know how to play the liberals on CNN? Hey, I don't understand what the big deal is. We wanted to create this interfaith community center. There was no problem. And then all of a sudden, it was the right wingers. They hijacked the whole debate. Boys, roll clip 3.
This story first broke last December in the New York Times. It was a front page article in the New York Times. Mm-hmm. And no one objected.
No.
This controversy only began in May. Mm-hmm. And it began as a result of some politicians who decided to use this for certain political purposes. And this is when it began to snowball Soledad.
Oh. So you think it's been politicized?
Absolutely. And this is very dangerous and tragic.
Oh, really? So let me get this straight. The story breaks in the New York Times. Nobody had a problem with it, according to Imam Faisal Rauf. No, nobody. Nothing. Nothing. It's nothing. We're going to build a mosque near Ground Zero. Hey, peace and love. Let's all sing Kumbaya together. Let's all sit down and have some tea. Let's have some Turkish coffee together and feast on some baklava and a pita. Pita and goat milk. Let's all get together. And then it was Fox News. It was conservative talk radio. They're the ones that decided to politicize it. He's a liar. On top of being a snake, on top of being a hypocrite, on top of being a fellow traveler, an Islamist fellow traveler, a radical Islamist, if there ever was one, he's also a liar. The minute it was announced on the front page of the New York Times, the members of the families of the 9/11 victims, all of those organizations came out and said, don't build that mosque. But now, according to Imam Faisal Rauf, who likes to travel on State Department dollars, taxpayer dollars around the Middle East, this man who's being backed by the American government, oh, it's a question of separation of church and state. That's why this mosque has to be built. Separation of church and state. Boys, roll clip 4.
This concept of separation of religion and politics or church and state has a wisdom behind it. Mm-hmm. And the purpose behind it is not to politicize religion. Because when you politicize religion, it is dangerous.
Oh, really? Oh, it's dangerous. Tell me, Imam Rauf, when you call for Sharia law, when you call for Sharia law from the pulpit, when you say it should be introduced to America, tell me, are you separating church and state? Because in Islam, there is no separation between mosque and state. That's what you don't want the American people to know. So when you call for Sharia law, when you defend Hamas, when you support the Iranian regime, tell me, are you for separation of church and state? You're not. But you know how to play the dumb infidel, the dumb liberal infidel on CNN. Oh, look how slick he is. Separation of church and state. He knows all the buzzwords. Civil society, separation of church and state, radicalization, blame the Tea Party movement, blame the right wingers. Oh, he's got it all down to a science. Look how slick he is. And now, we can't move it. If we move that mosque, what's going to be the headline in the Muslim world? The radicals have taken over in America. Islam is under threat. Boys, roll clip 5.
If we move from that location, mm-hmm. The story will be that the radicals have taken over the discourse. Ooh. The headlines in the Muslim world will be that Islam is under attack.
Oh, now again, back to the Quran burning issue now, huh? That's the game you Islamists like to play. You burn a Quran on a private piece of church property, all of Islam is under attack. Now if the Ground Zero mosque is moved, all of Islam is under attack. That's the headline. Oh, so in other words, notice what he's telling the libs in the media. Wink, wink. The problem is not the radicals in the Muslim world. No, it's not the terrorists. No, it's not Sharia law. No, it's not Hamas. No, it's not me. No, it's not the Ground Zero mosque. No, it's the Tea Partiers. It's the conservatives. It's the Michael Savages. It's conservative talk radio. That's what the Muslim world's going to read here. They've hijacked the debate. They've hijacked the debate. Now, Islam is under attack. Do you realize what's going to happen if the Ground Zero mosque is moved? Now he begins to show the knife. Now this little slick imam, slick as a greasy water rat. Oh, is he slick? Now he goes from the peacemaker, the moderate, sensible imam. He's just trying to make everybody happy. Now he starts to warn the American infidel. Be careful. You're playing with fire. You move this mosque. There's going to be some dangers. There's going to be some trouble. So when asked by the O'Brien, who's filling in for Larry King, why not just pick another spot? No, our national security. We can't move that spot now. Our troops are in jeopardy. Boys, roll clip 8.
And why is it hard to back up and say, and now that we've done it, let's undo it. Let's just say we won't. Let's pick another spot that's been offered.
As I just mentioned, our national security now, it hinges on how we negotiate this, how we speak about it, and what we do.
Really? Oh, okay. Tell me, I'm just curious, how does our national security, Imam Raouf, tell me, how is it now that the fate of America now depends upon this mosque being built? Boys, roll clip 9.
The battlefront is not between Muslims and non-Muslims. The real battlefront is between moderates on all sides of all the faith traditions and the radicals on all sides.
Oh really? Oh, so you get it now. The conservatives, the opponents of the mosque, you see, they're radicals. Just like the radicals on the Muslim side. We're all fighting radicals together, wink, wink, to the liberal media. You get it? You have your Tea Partiers. You have your conservatives. And we have our terrorists. Now, it's true, your conservatives don't blow things up. They don't blow themselves up. They're not waging jihad. They don't stone women. They don't hang gays and lesbians. I understand that. They just old ladies with little cards at a Tea Party rally. But it doesn't matter. You got your crazies who oppose the Ground Zero mosque. And we have a couple of our crazies. Boys, roll clip 11. There is
a certain anger here, no doubt. But if we don't do this right, anger will explode in the Muslim world. If this is not handled correctly, this crisis could become much bigger than the Danish cartoon crisis, which resulted in attacks on Danish embassies in various parts of the Muslim world. And we have a much larger footprint in the Muslim world. If we don't handle this crisis correctly, it could become something which could really become very, 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 very dangerous indeed.
Bingo. Very dangerous indeed. There he puts the knife to our throat. Now he's extorting us. This is blackmail. Now he's telling us, hey, this is no longer an issue for you Americans. This is no longer an issue for you infidels. You don't understand. There are going to be attacks all over the world. It's going to be even worse than the Danish cartoon crisis. Not going to be in jeopardy. American tourists, American diplomats. Hey, do you want violence? Do you want more terrorist attacks? Well, then you better back off. Just as what they are now doing with the Quran burning plan, where they nixed it by saying, hey, you're going to see terrorist attacks all over the world. Now the same line of attack is coming to the Ground Zero mosque. If you move this mosque, you will see jihadism and suicide attacks all over the world. Tell me, Imam Faisal Raouf, you're not being very peaceful now. I don't see the religion of peace. I may miss it. So what you're basically telling us, it's my way or the jihad way. Take your pick. And so, after putting the knife to our throat, look how slick he is. Hey, I'm just a peacemaker. Peace. I want peace. Boys, roll clip 12.
Given what you know now, would you have said, listen, let's not do it there? Because it sounds like you're saying, in retrospect, wouldn't have done it.
Well, yes.
you would not have done.
If I knew that this would happen, this would cause this kind of pain, mm-hmm. I wouldn't have mm-hmm. done it. My mm-hmm. life has been devoted to peacemaking.
Oh, I didn't want it. I didn't want it. But now it's there. I have to have it now. You don't understand. It's the Muslim world. It's the radicals. They're going to go crazy if this mosque is not built. I just want peace. A two-faced, hypocritical, shyster imam. And just as they did, they set up Reverend Terry Jones by telling him there was a deal when there was no deal. Look how they're trying to impose their values, their way of life upon us here in America. They have no shame. Their text is holy. Our sacred hallowed ground isn't. Qurans cannot be burnt, but mosques can be right near the site of ground zero. And so the question I have for all of you is a simple one. What do you make of Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf? Is he conning the American public? And more than that, do you believe this mosque at ground zero will be built? 1-800-449-8255 is the number. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Savage. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage. 1-800-449-8255. What will you be doing tomorrow to commemorate the 9-year anniversary of the September 11 attacks? And more than that, do you think the building of the Ground Zero Mosque defiles the memory of the fallen? And does it defile and insult the families of the 9/11 victims? I want to hear from you. 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to Steve in San Francisco. Steve, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello, and thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
I'd like to say that I believe I disagree with you on 2 points, and I do know for sure that I agree with you on another point. So okay. Maybe you'd just like me to tell you what the points are.
Steve, just tell me where you disagree with me, buddy.
Okay. First of all, I believe that terrorism is like a house where there's domestic violence. And if a woman keeps letting in an abusive guy, going back into the house to beat her up over and over again, at some point in time, she needs to own up and take responsibility and change. We Americans, by our laws, let those terrorists enter our U.S., get visas, get driver's licenses, take over planes, and everything else that they did. And if we're going to change that, we're going to have to take responsibility for changing the law and stop blaming other people.
Steve, I couldn't agree with you more, buddy, and I want to thank you for that call. Look, we in many ways have unilaterally disarmed. We disarmed before the September 11 attacks. We are disarming today. What is to me remarkable, okay, leave aside the fact that those 19 hijackers were off at a strip club. I kid you not, at a strip club in Florida the day before they hijacked those planes. And not very holy there. Not very holy, but that's never mind that. They it's okay for them to play around with infidels. That's they can do that. Their sexual practices are more liberal than people imagine. They were here on overstayed visas, most of them. You would think the one thing we would do, we're now in a global war on terror. We are now fighting in two theaters, in Afghanistan and Iraq. Nearly 5,000 American troops have been killed, 35,000 wounded and maimed. You would think the one thing we would do would secure our border. I mean, it's just common sense. Leave aside the illegal immigrants. Leave aside the massive third world invasion. Leave aside the defense of our manufacturing base and our economy and our healthcare system. Leave all that aside for basic self-preservation. For basic self-defense, you think we would seal that border. I know for a fact, FBI agents have told me, intelligence agents have told me, Border Patrol agents have told me, they have found copies of prayer rugs and Qurans all over the southern border. They're littered. Hezbollah has penetrated our southern border. Al-Qaeda has penetrated our southern border. Hamas has penetrated our southern border. We have terrorist sleeper cells who have come in through the border with Mexico. It's no accident. Go to Beirut. Go to Tehran. Ask for a visa to Mexico. Not to America. Not to Canada. To Mexico. It's $3,000 a pop. $3,000 a visa. In some places, it's $5,000, $10,000. Now, unless I've missed something, has Mexico now become Switzerland? Has Mexico now become one of the most prosperous? Hong Kong? Has it become one of the most prosperous countries in the world that everybody apparently in the Middle East is dying to get that visa like it's a hotcake? No, because they know if you get into Mexico, you just trek over the border and you're into America. My friends, look at the dumb infidels. We can't even protect our border as we're fighting a war on terror. I ask you, who's really the dumb one here? Them or us? This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Security interests, we want to be clear about who the enemy is here. It's a handful, a tiny minority of people who are engaging in horrific acts and have killed Muslims more than anybody else. The other reason it's important for us to remember that is because we've got millions of Muslim Americans, our fellow citizens in this country. They're going to school with our kids. They're our neighbors. They're our friends. They're our co-workers. And, you know, when we start acting as if their religion is somehow offensive, what are we saying to them?
That was President Obama, the dear leader, today at a news conference, talking about the Quran burning, how he's opposed to it. And now he supports the building of the Ground Zero Mosque. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. You know, my friends, what I find absolutely remarkable is this. I don't know if his brain can't wrap itself around this basic point. Who has said that the religion of Islam is offensive? What everybody's saying, most of the world, even most Muslims that I speak to in the Middle East who have to live under the rule of these butchers, is that there is a part of Islam that is dangerous. There is a strain of Islam that is violent. But no, it's peace. It's always peace. Everything is peace. Just a handful. I'm talking 5, 6, 7, maybe 10. Maybe 10 terrorists. Maybe 10. That's it. That's it. A 1.2 billion, you got 10 people. That's it. That's it. And this is exactly what Imam Faisal Raouf keeps saying. Hey, why did I set up this Ground Zero Mosque? It's all interfaith. It's all promoting dialogue, because in the end, it's all about peace. We're about peace. Boys.
After 9/11, in response to a perennial question was, how can we fix this relationship between the United States and the Muslim world? Mm-hmm. I found the Quran Initiative as a multi-faith and a multinational initiative, because it became very clear and very apparent that if we were going to do this, we have to have Muslims and non-Muslims in this country and internationally cooperating together on addressing the fundamental causes that have caused this and are continuously fueling this.
Imam Raouf, I'll tell you very easy what's causing all of this crisis around the world. All the bombings, all the terrorism, all of the rioting, all of the flag burning, all of the Sharia law, all of the stoning. It's radical Islam. It's ideological fanaticism. The problem is not with America. The problem is not with the West. It's with radical Islamic fundamentalism, Imam Raouf. But you know that. Even the very term Cordoba House, you think we were that stupid? That we wouldn't know? That it's based upon the city in southern Spain? where when the Islamists of the time in the Middle Ages, when they were marching on Europe, when they were invading Europe and conquered Spain, that there in Cordoba City, they destroyed the Catholic Church and built a massive mosque to signify the center of their caliphate, of their government, of their rule over Europe. And you're going to now repeat that here in America? And notice what a liar he is. It's interfaith. It's multi-faith. Muslims, non-Muslims. Well, then why build a mosque? Why build a Muslim community center? Why not build a genuine interfaith center? Why not build something where you can have a church, a synagogue, a mosque, everybody together? He's a liar and a shyster. But this, my friends, is the one I want to play again. Because this tells you all you need to know about this man and how naive Obama and the libs are. It's all peace. All peace. All peaceful. Interdenominational, peaceful, multinational, multi-confessional, multi-faith. But if we don't build that mosque, here's what's in store for you. Boys, roll clip 11.
There is a certain anger here, no doubt. But if we don't do this right, anger will explode in the Muslim world. If this is not handled correctly, this crisis could become much bigger than the Danish cartoon crisis, which resulted in attacks on Danish embassies in various parts of the Muslim world. And we have a much larger footprint in the Muslim world. If we don't handle this crisis correctly, it could become something which could really become very, 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 very dangerous indeed.
Well, let me ask you, is it not just a handful of people? You got one hand, two hands. I don't understand now. So you mean in Denmark, they're no big imperial power. Believe me, I don't see the Danes anywhere in the Middle East. They publish a cartoon mocking the Prophet Muhammad. They mock Jesus. They mock Moses. They mock Buddha. Believe me, it's open season on religion in Europe. Suddenly, protests all over the world. This man is living in fear of his life. People were murdered around the world in retaliation. Christians, Jews, priests, nuns, men, women. And now you're telling us that the same thing is going to happen even worse? Well, then what is it? You can't have it both ways. Is it just 10, 15 people? Or is it widespread? You're just telling us by your own words you're indicting yourself. There's going to be protests all over the world. My friends, here is the reality of the matter. 10 to 15% of the Muslim world is radicalized, extremist, and militant. And they are waging a global jihad upon us. It's not a handful of people. Obama knows it, and he's been lying to us. And if you have 1.2 billion Muslims, do the math. 10 to 15%, that's 120, that's 150, that's maybe even 200 million. That's Nazi Germany. That's Imperial Russia. That is an empire. And that is what we're facing. We are now facing a fanatical ideology that seeks to destroy the West, destroy Israel, destroy America. And now, if we're not able to call evil by its name, if we're not able to recognize the evil and the danger that we face, if we continue to lie to ourselves, how can we win? You can ignore radical Islam all you want, dear leader, Mr. President, but they are not ignoring us. And that's the point. Let's go to our busy phone lines. 1-800-449-8255. Patty in Oklahoma, thank you for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Jeff. I just wanted to call in because you asked the question if you felt like the men were deceptive to the pastor. And I worked in a country in Africa in a Muslim culture for a couple of years. And I would say that in this particular culture, you know, I'm not sure exactly what the Quran says about integrity and honesty. But in this particular culture, deception was, it was a good thing. Where honesty and integrity is a good thing for us, deception over there was a good thing. You know, the bigger the story, the better you could pull the wool over their eyes, the better you did. So I don't know about these particular men, but that's what I observed in Africa. And I guess I have a question for you.
Sure.
My question is, what do moderate Muslims do about all the verses in the Quran that are that are calling for jihad in those things? Do they just say, oh, that doesn't apply to today? Because as for myself as a Christian, you know, if I sincerely want to please God, you know, and please him more, then my way to do that is to find out what my book says and follow my book more closely. So my question is, you know, and I hope sometime you guys on the radio will address this, is what really does the Quran say about those things? And are these people just kind of blowing off that part? Or do
Patty,
they feel like...
you've asked, I want to thank you for that call. You have asked the $64,000 question. Christianity is the true religion of peace. It is. Jesus came here to die for our sins. Judaism is a true religion of peace. Buddhism is a true religion of peace. Look at the Dalai Lama. He's openly called for nonviolence. Tibet is occupied by communist China. They've been ethnically cleansing the place for 60 years. He still refuses to even fight in self-defense. If that's not peace, I don't know what is. Now, I think it's misguided pacifism, but let that go. But Islam is a different kettle of fish. Let me just cite to you one example. Chapter 8, verse 12, verse 13. Look it up yourself. Chapter 8, verse 12, verse 13. In that chapter and verse, Prophet Muhammad openly says that Allah ordains Muslim. There, chapter 8, verse 12, verse, that's the crime of not submitting to Allah. That's why these Islamists behead people. It's not for the hell of it. Because they believe it's justified in the Quran. Now, when I say moderate Muslims, when I say reform-minded Muslims, I've spoken to many of them. I'm very familiar with the Islamic world. What they will say is this. The Quran is part of a particular time in history. This time was the early Middle Ages. And yes, it was a very violent time. Islam initially was a fighting faith, but now over time, we need to modernize the Quran. We need to, quote, reform the Quran. We need to reform Islam. And so the question that we have to ask ourselves as Muslims, they tell me, is, do we want to be known by the book or do we want to be known by the sword? And so many of these moderate clerics are coming out and saying, no, these violent passages, we have to disown them. We have to say, maybe that thing worked in the Middle Ages. Maybe it was acceptable then. But today, we want it to be figuratively. We don't want it to be literally interpreted. In other words, they're not fundamentalists. When it comes to the Quran, they are not fundamentalists. That's the difference between the moderates and the extremists. There's no other way to explain it because there are parts of the Quran that clearly are violent and clearly call for violent jihad. And so this is what these Islamists are justifying their actions on. So when Obama says that they've hijacked a religion, when Obama says that they've perverted a religion, he's lying. They're interpreting a particular strain of the religion. They're focusing on particular clauses in the Holy Book. They don't speak for all of Islam. Look, it's obvious. For many centuries, Islam was at peace. Many parts it wasn't. Many times it wasn't, but many times it was. Most Muslims don't blow themselves up. Most Muslims don't attack their neighbor. It's an obvious statement. Of course, most of them are peaceful. But that's not the issue. The issue is the minority. It is the militant minority. Look at Soviet Russia. The Bolsheviks took over that country. Look at Nazi Germany. The minority of the Nazis took over that country. This is what is slowly happening in Islam. The minority are now speaking for the majority. And unless we recognize that as a nation, as a people, as a culture, and say, you have a problem. We don't have a problem. Have you noticed? Look how perverse it is. Stand back. Tomorrow's the 9-year anniversary. What happened on September 11th? We were attacked. 3,000 Americans were slaughtered. Christians, Jews, Muslims, people of non-religious faith. Slaughtered. What was the response from our liberal elite? We shouldn't be racist. We shouldn't be bigoted. We shouldn't be Islamophobic. We shouldn't be intolerant. Now, I ask you, what if we responded like that in World War II? Pearl Harbor is attacked. Oh, don't be bigoted. Don't be bigoted. It's insane. The right response should be, who attacked us, why, and let's annihilate them. And we haven't been able, we are still in Iraq. We are still in Afghanistan. We are losing the war on terror because we refuse to recognize the reality of the enemy that we face. We are at war with a civilization and with an ideology. And that civilization, that ideology is radical Islam. It is Islamic fundamentalism. They have enemies in the Muslim world. We should court them. But together, in alliance, moderate Muslims and the West, we must stand together. Or believe me, my friends, we will be destroyed. This is a fight to the finish. And I pray to God that we have the will to win. Let's go to Richard in San Francisco. Richard, very quickly, what's your point, buddy?
Yeah, hi, Jeff. You're doing a good job filling in for the Prophet Savage.
I've got
two points to make. One, I don't like what this imam is saying about our country and our military. He is not associated with us in any shape or form. Second thing, Obama says we're not at war with Islam. These threats that this imam is making makes us at war with Islam, his threats. Now, the second thing I want to point out is this Pastor Jones, they shut his Dove World website down. Okay, if you go to his messages before they take that off the air.
Richard, look, he did threaten us. The Imam Rauf is threatening us. He's clearly threatening us. And look what they've done to this pastor. They've shut down his website. They've sicked the FBI on him. They've sicked the government on him. I mean, this is becoming like a Gestapo state. So let me get this straight. This pastor with 50 members, he's a threat to national security. But Imam Rauf, go ahead, build a mosque. We are liberalism. Is a mental disorder, as Dr. Savage says, and this is no clearer example. The difference between Imam Rauf and this pastor, it shows you exactly why liberalism is a mental disorder. It's a classic case. For Dr. Savage, these two examples prove his thesis dead on. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage. You can read my column every Friday in the Washington Times. Just punch in my last name, K-U-H, N as in Nancy, E-R. My friends, go to michaelsavage.com. There are some absolute must-read stories. And in a sense, if you were to ask me what is the theme of michaelsavage.com today, and usually on most days, it is the insanity of our times. It is the utter perversion, moral, cultural, intellectual, that we live in. And for example, I mentioned this story earlier. You go to michaelsavage.com, Burn the Stars and Stripes Day. In England, there is a prominent imam who now is calling tomorrow for retaliation against Burn a Quran Day, Burn the Stars and Stripes Day. And now he is demanding that Muslims all over the world, in front of every U.S. embassy, burn and desecrate the American flag. You're not going to get that covered in the mainstream media. No one's going to denounce him as some fringe imam. No one's going to call him a nut job. Nobody's going to call him insane. Nobody's going to call him nuts. No. Hey, it's free speech. Free speech. He's got a right to talk. He's got a right to speak. In fact, I bet the Queen's probably going to invite him for some tea and crumpets. Oh, come on in. You want to burn the American flag? You want to call for the overthrow of the British government? You want to call for the introduction of Sharia law into Britain? Come on over for some tea and crumpets. Maybe we'll give you some cucumber sandwiches as well. But when it comes to Michael Savage, who champions borders, language, and culture, who says we must win the war against radical Islam, who says we must secure our southern border, who says we must stop our runaway spending, who says we must defend the culture of life, who says we must protect our manufacturing base, who champions a conservative nationalism, as I do. Oh, he's got to be banned. That's frightening. That's scary. No, he can't come into England. No one's banning this imam. Oh, he can shout it from the rooftops. Oh, there he is with his megaphone calling for Muslims all over the world to burn the American flag and overthrow the American and British government. Him, he's welcome in Britain. Completely welcome. There's no ban. Michael Savage. Oh, it's inter-community violence. This talk show host who never once called for violence against anybody. Ever. No. Can't. No. My friends, we are slowly losing all of our precious freedoms and values unless we stand up and defend them. God, country, and family. This is my conservatism. This is Michael's conservatism. And together, it will restore America. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage.